You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You have my sword.
And you have my bow.
And my trowel.
Hi, you're listening to episode 67 of And My Trowel, where we look at the fantastic side of archaeology and the archaeological side of fantasy. I'm Ash.
And I'm Tilly.
And today, we're not going on a quest.
What? We're not?
No, because we wanted to share our news.
Oh, right. So, listeners, those of you who listen in regularly should, of course, know by now that we work as freelance archaeologists under the Union of the Fellowship of the Trowel. And in various fantasy universes, we do our works. And generally, we just do kind of short-term quests. So that's been what the podcast has been following so far, short-term quests and projects. But recently, we thought, you know what? Let's go for something bigger. Let's push to the stars. Let's try something new. And I'm very excited to announce that our proposal has been awarded, which means that we have a funding grant from the Nextian Universe Research Institute that will allow us to do an in-depth archaeological survey of multiple fantasy universes in a much longer-term project.
Woo! Which means that rather than, you know, flitting around between short-term contracts, we've been doing what we've been doing for the last 2 years now. We finally get to do established projects for a couple of years.
Woohoo! Which is such a relief. I mean, gosh, can you imagine to know that something solid that we have for the next few years? But I do think that we've been so busy kind of finishing up other side projects that it hasn't really had a chance to sink in yet.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I thought it'd be a good idea to take a little breather this episode.
Yes.
And ground ourselves back into the original goals that we had when we first started working freelance.
That's true, because yeah. Oh, can you remember 2.5 years? Can you believe we've been doing this for 2.5 years now?
No. That's mental. It's strange. Mental.
It's a bit crazy. Yeah. Which yeah. So, and I mean, if we go back to the original idea, that was kind of what we thought anyway, right? That we wanted to do with this podcast was have like us in fantasy universes and going around and discovering things. And then it sort of turned into something a bit different, and then it moved around a bit. And then, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, because really we were just big nerds that wanted to talk about theory.
I mean, yeah. Archaeological theory. How can we persuade people to listen to talk about archaeological theory? Let's wrap it in fantasy fiction.
Exactly. The perfect package.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. This is really, I don't know what it is. It's got like
I've
got a thing in the back of my throat, I think.
You've got a frog in your throat.
I think so.
Could have left that in. That's quite fantasy.
Yeah, right. Rachel, we'll leave it up to you if you want to leave that in.
But then we have to disclaimer who Rachel is.
True, in case she decides to leave it in. Rachel, we should do that anyway. We should do like a bit of a shout out to our wonderful APN team. So, yeah, obviously Ash, by the way, is the producer for the Archaeology Podcast Network. The exec, what's your title?
Lead producer. Lead producer.
Very fancy. So she's the one that makes sure everything goes out on time and everything's where it should be. Luckily, our podcast never has any issues. So,
never.
We're right on time. And then we have Chris and Tristan, who are the Archaeology Podcast Network founders. So they are the ones who keep us all in line and make sure that we're doing the things we're supposed to be doing and come up with all the big ideas and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel is, I think, probably the hardest worker on the podcast
network. Absolutely.
She has the biggest job. Who is our editor? So usually it's cut out because she does an excellent job of editing, but whenever we make any mistakes, not that we make any mistakes, of course, in our podcast.
There's never, ever never like a swear word or a mispronunciation or anything like that. Never.
But we have little keywords that we leave within the text so that she knows where to go to cut out bits. So we usually say, sorry, Rachel. And that's how she knows where to go and cut it out. Which don't.
And all
out
of our
much,
guests are introduced to that as soon as they come on. We're
all
like,
our guests
know
Rachel.
Something?
They'll say, "Sorry, Rachel.
Sorry, Rachel." And don't forget yourself,
because so she's going to be searching through this transcript and going, "Why do they keep saying sorry?"
Oh my gosh! No, I hope not. Oh no, we're going to have
she's
to put that in the notes.
Everything, yeah.
Oh no, yeah. Sorry, Rachel. That's going to be really a lot of work.
My apologies, Rachel. My apologies.
We can't even say our name. We're going to have to say editor.
My apologies, editor. Chief editor.
Yeah. And don't forget yourself, Tilly. Tilly is also a social media manager. That's so right. She's all the brains behind the every single social account that you'll see for the APN. Including Man My Trial, because I do very little on there. You are very much the one that does
I'm doing very little on there at the moment as well, to be fair. That's actually a point. We wanted to, this is sort of our opportunity to take a bit of a breather before we start on this project. And we wanted to ask, indeed, people listening in, who follow us on Instagram. We only have Instagram. What kind of thing would you like to see on there? At the moment, we basically just publish when we do episodes and who our guests are. But, you know, if you have any ideas or thoughts, then feel free to share them with us. One of the problems with podcasts is that sometimes you feel like you're just talking into the void because people listen, but they don't really
you don't get feedback. Respond. Yeah.
Yeah. So feedback's nice. So feel free to share feedback.
Yeah, you know us, but we don't know you. We don't Let us know you.
We know some of you, to be fair.
Some of you.
Shout out to Medusa.
Yeah.
Who is, I think, our top fan. She always,
absolutely.
Thanks, Medusa. So this was sort of an attempt, I guess, to show. Have you seen that latest trend that's going around, which is like, don't show your work, show you working? So.
Absolutely not. Never.
No. Anyway, this is me. See, this is the problem somebody, as a social media manager is I get all the trends.
Yeah. No, for someone who should be looking at social media trends, I really don't. And I don't really engage with it. And that's probably why I don't grow in followers at all. Because I just, I'm like, I don't want to see, nobody wants to see my face. I don't want
to see your face.
Oh, thanks very much. Want to see your face. Nobody wants to see that, man. Oh, well, definitely. Apart from like, I don't know. Well, I'm usually covered in wax because I've got a candle business, by the way. So I'm like, wait. So like, you know, otherwise it would just be, yeah, it's just me with my hair scraped back, slightly greasy, looking sad because I have a resting sad face.
Do you have and, a resting sad face? I have a resting confused face or resting, what do I call it? Resting gormless face. Because I have like in a terminally blocked nose, which is just due to allergies and anyway. Mm. And it means that I breathe through my mouth a lot, which is probably why people listening to this podcast, sorry, Rachel again. No, apologies, editor, for who has to edit out all of my horrendous background mouth breathing. But it means that when
I'm not bad,
just like resting, then my mouth is usually slightly open and I'm usually frowning and I'm usually just going like, duh.
You're working a lot. You're concentrating. That's right.
So anyway, this was a little bit of a tidbit, a little bit of a behind the scenes of what actually happens here at Am I Trial, here on the Archaeology Podcast Network. So even though, of course, it sounds like this is easy and, you know, we make it look so easy and so good, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Yeah. There's a lot of work behind the scenes that happens once we've actually recorded. And of course, recording, you know, we usually do, even though sometimes it might not sound like it, but we do some research before we start.
We do. I think it's the biggest research of my life. Like,
And sometimes you go down real rabbit holes.
Yeah, I get real worried that I'm going to get it wrong as well. And I think we're both kind of perfectionists in that way. So we're like, we need to make sure that this is correct. Wait, how do you pronounce, like the Star Wars episodes, we were so concerned about how to pronounce certain words. Like, was it Twi'lek?
Twi'lek or Twi'lek? Or Twi'lek.
We couldn't, and we didn't there was even mention versions. It.
And then we didn't even talk about it. Yeah, we had like a whole 15-minute conversation before we started recording about like, okay, how would you say this? Let's look it up. And we were looking up in like Star Wars, what was it called? Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
You know, about like pronunciation of different things and all this kind of stuff. And we found, a lot of work goes into these episodes.
Maybe a lot of pointless work.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also just a way for us to, as Ash said earlier, engage with our nerdiness because we are both professional archaeologists by training, even though we've sort of diverged slightly in some ways from
which
our original.
Which most archaeologists do, I feel.
Yeah, right. I think there's very few archaeologists that remain in a very solid path the whole time. Like there's so many different twists and turns that you can take. But we are also big readers of fantasy fiction, and that's how we got into this, which I'm just curious, what has studying archaeology, do you think, because we also part of the Archaeo Book Club, which we used to have a podcast on the APN, but we had to stop because we were all just very busy. But the book club itself is still going strong. We'll put a link in the notes so you can check that out if you want to. But the aim of the Archaeo Book Club is basically to see how archaeology is depicted in fantasy fiction or like archaeological themes and things like, not fantasy fiction, sorry, fiction and nonfiction, but like popular, more popular readings. rather than like academic texts. And so it's like archaeology and archaeology themes. And we notice that there's sometimes where there's a book that like you'll have read when you're a child or when you're younger or whatever, that you're like, oh, this is such a great book. But then when you read it with a really critical lens from an archaeological perspective, yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, this is awful.
This is so, this is a terrible
representation. But how is your experience of reading fantasy fiction specifically, not even archaeologically themed, but just fantasy fiction? Do you think that it's changed since you studied archaeology?
Oh, that's a really good question. Possibly. I mean, I think I get to see the world. I think, but the thing is, we've had this conversation before, is that if we are interested in archaeology, I think usually you're a fantasy reader. Usually. Yeah. I'm not saying all the time. And yeah, it's because you like to construct worlds in your mind. Like you like the storytelling aspect of it. And that is it. If you're on the ground in archaeology and you're digging and stuff, you're interpreting the site as you go. So when you're reading, you're kind of doing that as well. You're picking up all these little cues that the author has put in to tell you what the world is like. So I think it's, it goes hand in hand in many ways. But yeah, I think even with the Archaeo Book Club, joining the book club, I never used to be able to read anything with archaeology in it. I used to get really like, or even watch like the Vikings. I couldn't finish the Vikings. That got, like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't like move out of the stringent, like, I don't know, like eras and stuff I had. Like, why is Rollo there? He's 300 years later. Like, even now, that still annoys me. But, you know, but then reading more critically, yes, but then also accepting that people are just going to have a different view of archaeology, and then having other people to be like, that's so silly, isn't it? Or, oh, that's a really good representation, isn't it? And finding those books, I think, has helped, because otherwise I would find it deeply, like, it's not even cringy, it's just like this, it's painful to read, you know?
Yeah.
And what about you?
It's, well, I think for me, the main thing is there's so many times where, I mean, the whole reason that we started the book club was because sometimes having those stereotypes and those representations can be harmful if they're really incorrect, which we've talked about in detail on the book club podcast, so I won't get into it here. But yeah, so I think that's something that's really interesting when you're reading like fantasy, especially fantasy, because there's a lot of parallels obviously drawn with our world mythology and history and I mean, you know, we just have to look at something like Lord of the Rings, right? And the amount of mythological influence is very clear. But it's really interesting to see how different, how you can sort of make that interpretation based on what you think it represents. Because, I mean, so something, for example, that I think it was you sent it, I can't remember if you sent it to me or I sent it to you, but it popped up in someone's feed, that reel, and we'll put it in the show notes because it was just a very quick clip from a podcast, I think, on the BBC, that was someone talking about a Russian version of Lord of the Rings.
Yes!
And how it was basically the same rough story, but told from the perspective of like, it's the West coming in and what's the word? Like demolishing this really nicely structured, like
industrial society,
which is Mordor. And you know, because it was written from the Russian perspective. And so it was sort of, it was, which also just, I think, goes to show that even if you have like something that is written down, like a fantasy universe, and also even if you have something that's like written in stone, like archaeological evidence, it can still always be interpreted in such different ways. So,
absolutely, yeah.
And I think that's a nice way to look at it through fantasy fiction as well, because you sort of think of archaeology as like, no, but it's a science. There's like evidence and there's facts. And it's like, well, fantasy fiction is words on a page. And yet we all accept that everyone interprets it in different ways and everyone has their own experiences that they take away from it. So what's to say that's not the same with archaeology as well?
Well, precisely. I mean, English literature wouldn't be a thing as a study.
Yeah.
If we all were like, oh, that's exactly what that says. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
We all have, and I think different parts of books, especially in fantasy, call to different people, different characters. And that's why I think fantasy is so vast a lot of the time, is because you do want to hit somebody in the feels, you know, as a reader, as a writer to the reader.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah. And out of curiosity, I mean, we've done a couple of little surveys, archaeological surveys of various universes. But if you could be an archaeologist in any fantasy world, in any fantasy, either a book or a universe or a like specific story, which one would you pick?
Oh, I think it changes constantly. I really do think it does, because I'm pretty sure when I last said this, I was immediately like, obviously, it's Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And that would be really cool. But there is one book I read. I got the second one recently, so I think that's why it's in my mind. And it's Ruby Dixon's book, and it's called Bull Moon Rising, right? Really? Now, it's a world where there's like minotaurs and humans and lots of different creatures and fun things, but there's this like artifactual guild, right? So actually she's an archaeologist, but she never calls it an archaeologist. It's very like overly done fantasy in many ways. Okay. But there's an artifactual guild where basically it's the power struggles between the traditional antiquarian, right? And a woman that comes in and who is like, no, I want to be an artifact finder. And so they actually mine for artifacts, and they have like different tunnels, and the minotaurs are the ones that guide them around, because obviously minotaurs and tunnels go hand in hand. Yeah. And I was like, that would be so fun.
Yeah, right?
Like, that would be really interesting to see in a different way. Like, you're basically excavating a cave and finding relics, magical relics all the time. And you have like teams, and the teams within it get like higher rewards. And I know it's kind of saying that archaeologists have lots of money, which we definitely don't. We're all very poor. Despite, you know, those all those books where it's like, we found the biggest artifact in the world.
Yeah, right. Because, you know, that was, I think, the worst one from that one book we read, where they were like, oh yeah, because then they can sell the artifact. It's like, that's not what archaeologists
do. We're not allowed. Even if we find something, we can't even go to treasure trove and be like, hey,
yeah,
we just
have
to can you give me like £1 million? Yeah. You know, so yeah, completely different. But yeah, I think right now I would probably choose the Bull Moon Rising world that Ruby Dixon created, because it was so fun. And I think you'd love it, because it's very Amelia Peabody.
It's on my list.
It's really good
to look up.
Yeah, what about you? What would you choose?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know where my mind first goes to.
Discworld?
Discworld.
I've never heard of it.
No? Oh, remind me to tell you about it later. But one of the things, actually, it's funny, when I was preparing for this episode and I was trying to think of, you know, oh, what's the research institute that's going to grant us this funding? And I thought of the Thursday Next series written by Jasper Ford, where it's set in like alternate universe kind of thing. And what I find really fascinating about it is that they have like dodos and Neanderthals and things are still around and still just like part of society. So she has, for example, a pet dodo, and then there's like Neanderthals who drive the trains and like all of this sort of stuff. And I think that would be, it's like a different kind of archaeology, right? But it's sort of the physical anthropology and cultural anthropology almost combined, because you can be looking at it almost as like an ethnographic study, but it's of different human species and how they interact. And I think that would be really fascinating to do.
That would be very cool stuff. And it also calls to the almost the primatologist in you as well.
It does. Anyway, I can try and wrangle in that primatology and that archaeology.
It's always funny when I'm talking to Tilly, because she's like, do you know, I've just got loads of like sheep skulls that I need to boil. You're like, all right, cool.
I buried some teeth from a pig and a cow the other day in a plant pot, and it's on our windowsill in the dining room. And I said to Michael, like, look, I know that there's no flour in that. My husband, he said, I know there's no flour in this at the moment, but like, please don't chuck away this plant pot in the soil, because it's got some teeth in it that need to.
Amazing.
To give him credit, we've been together long enough now that he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you're like, ah, oh, no worries. Yeah, to be fair, archaeologists, we do have strange hobbies. But yeah, but it's always funny. You're like, I've got these bones boiling in my basement. And it stinks. And I'm like, yeah, it will do.
Oh, the best one, though, was the other day we were walking through town and we went past like a, I think it was like a physio studio or a yoga studio or something. And they had like a, you know, a skeleton in the, like a medical skeleton, you know, in the window, because it was about like health and sport and stuff. And my youngest daughter stopped and she said, look, mummy, it's your favorite.
because I'd just been doing all of my human evolution courses, so I had all the skull replicas from the ancient hominids. Funny. And she was always coming in and helping me sort them and like stuff. And then she's like, "Look, mummy, it's your favorite." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, that's true.
And my eldest girl said she wants to be an archaeologist, and she keeps bringing me stones from kindergarten. She's like, "Look, mummy, you can look at this when you're at work."
That's so cute. Oh my god! See, I had this interaction with the kids in our area, and they ran up to me. They know I'm an archaeologist, but I don't really think they know entirely what that means.
Yes.
But they were like, "Look, Ash, what is this? This is a red brick, a red stone." And I was like, "Yeah, it's just a stone. It's a brick." And they were like, "No, it's red stone." And I was like, "What the? What are they talking about?" And it was Minecraft. I didn't know what that is. Like, I was like, "No, that's just a brick, piece of brick." And they were like, "No." And I was like, "But you're saying it's red, and I'm saying it. I'm so confused right now."
Which, I mean, that's a whole other sphere, right, as well, of fantasy archaeology overlap is archaeogaming and things as well.
Oh,
right?
Gosh, like, yeah. But I've never played Minecraft. I have absolutely no idea.
No.
I mean, I get it's like a building kit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never had cubes.
We should do an episode with Aris Polopolotola. I'm so sorry, Aris, if you're listening in. He's Greek and he's got a very long, very Greek last name, which I can never remember how many Opelopolises are in there. But he ran a project through Leiden University called Value, I think, and which is like ancient games, but also teaching, like investigating archaeology through games. So they did things like, you know, Assassin's Creed play-alongs and stuff, but then they would build monuments in Minecraft and like do all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, people do. Like, I saw, because of that, I'm assuming my algorithm picked up that conversation because like literally an hour later when I went on TikTok, I suddenly had a Minecraft video. I was like,
always watching.
Yeah. I usually just have like K-drama stuff in archaeology, so it didn't really make sense. And it was a guy had made a replica of the sun, like a scale replica of the sun. And I was like, how? And so he had like the whole universe in Minecraft.
Okay.
And I was like, that's really scale. And you can build like loads of stuff in it. Ooh. But it's even like you mentioned, like Assassin's Creed. Like now, the newer Assassin, I don't know, I haven't played like the Shadows one or even the guy after Eivor, the Viking Valhalla one, because that made me annoyed, so I just stopped. But they do historical walkthrough. You can actually, there's an option, especially I remember AC Odyssey, which was set in ancient Greece.
Yeah.
You can do a walkthrough of ancient Greece and there was another one called Origins, which is ancient Egypt, and walk through all the stuff because they do. They have to look at the archaeological record in order to reconstruct these buildings. Yeah. So they were like, well, why don't we just put that into the game and teachers use it to kind of go, well, here you go, this is you walking through ancient Egypt. Yeah. This is you on the boat in the middle of the, you know, stuff like that.
It's
so,
a
yeah.
proper way to use digital, like, tools when you have actual people building actual stuff and don't just use AI to make these ancient tour videos, which I've been seeing going around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They annoy me so much. Yeah. They annoy me too. It's like, hi, I'm in Pompeii. And the Vesuvius has just erupted. And you're like, oh,
it's all wrong.
It's all wrong. It's all wrong.
If it was, like, correct, and if it had been created by, like, people. Oh, anyway. Oh.
It is, yeah. Oh, yes.
By the way, I was just thinking, sorry, I was just reminded because a pigeon just flew past the window.
Oh, my God.
Did you post off our acceptance letter for the grant?
No, I thought you were doing that.
Shoot. Okay, hang on. Let's have a quick break while I go and catch that pigeon and send it off.
And the letter's sent off?
Yes. Luckily, the pigeon had just had lunch, so it was very easy to catch. It was moving quite slowly. So, okay, now we have officially accepted the grant.
Yay! Fantastic. So I think we should talk a little bit about what the project will actually entail.
Yes, that's true, because we've already done a couple of little sort of, I guess, teasers of it. Mm. In the what did we do? We did the archaeology of The Witcher.
We did.
Good fun, like a double episode. And obviously
Archaeology of Discworld.
Mm-hmm. Our last episodes with the Archaeology of Star Wars. And
yeah,
we just had a lot of fun with them. Like,
we did. We really enjoyed them.
Yeah. Because before we did kind of particular topics or particular theories or particular, like, either fantasy topics or archaeological topics. And that's also fun to do. But sometimes it's just really fun to just get your teeth into like.
Yeah, and it means we can combine different theories all together at the same time when we're looking at the world. So we actually are interpreting like the world and a site at the same time. So like kind of similar to what we did with Weathertop when we did the excavation and the post-excavation of Weathertop. It'll be that, but on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
And I think we'll start off with something quite broad, like looking at everything, like, you know, giving you an introduction to the world. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get into the nitty-gritty, especially if it's a book. I think we'll have to go like almost not chapter by chapter, but we'll pick the good chapters.
Yeah, we can pick the good stuff. We can pick the good stuff from it, which would be nice. And yeah, I think that it's, I think it'll be fun because it means that we can, there will be some potential, not even repetition, but I mean, that's the whole point of something like archaeology and doing research projects, right? Is that sometimes you use the same theories or you use the same approaches, but to different content. And I think that will be interesting to see with this one as well. Like, how
I also I also think it'll be interesting to see what we think now in comparison to like two and a half years ago. What we say, if we say something similar, if we don't.
People who've been listening the whole time will be like, this sounds very familiar.
Like, wait, is this not episode two? It won't be as copy and paste, don't worry. It will be completely unique. But it'll be interesting just to see if we see something different or we think something different.
And I feel like we should say, by the way, because we are going to be doing then basically a couple of episodes. They're not going to be seasons because it's just going to be rolling episodes, but it's going to be kind of themed, a group of themed episodes, kind of five or six episodes, maybe more if it's a really long book or something, or if we come up with more stuff. And it's going to be focused around, like Ash said, like a particular book or a particular universe or something like that. We should clarify, all of the investigations that we are going to do are based purely on our research backgrounds and our opinions and our interest areas. Because, for example, there's, when we did the Archaeology of Discworld one, I was then reading up even more about it afterwards. And there's so much about the Archaeology of Discworld. Like, someone had written this really cool article about the Lunkra landfill system and like all of this sort of stuff. And there's a whole thing about the Archaeologist Guild and everything, which I hadn't even read before we did that episode. That episode was just based on our kind of own fun interpretation and how we would see it. So I feel like we just need to clarify that from the beginning, that like, if anyone's listening in who has done the archaeology of these universes, don't come for us. Like, we are just having fun.
Just, or engage with us. Like, let us know. Because like, then we can do a whole new episode.
Come on as a guest.
Because, exactly. We're owning our bias right now.
Yes.
And being like, this is what we see. And our disciplines, I mean, our disciplines are very similar.
Yes.
You know, we were material culture. So we will always have a material culture episode, maybe several. I don't know.
Can we just make this a material podcast? I know that the Daybreak Archaeology is basically a material culture podcast.
We're trying so hard not to go into material culture too much, but it is our, like, you know, favorite. And landscape's a second for me, so there'll usually be a landscape one.
Yeah. And like, ethnography is more good one for me, so that'll probably be like in there as well. So there's.
So we're predictable. And you can figure out what a bias is, I think, as well. So
but that's also why we will still maybe be having the, like, we're hoping to still have the occasional guest on as well, who will then hopefully expand that out a little bit, so it's not just us talking about stuff, because I think that's important to do as well.
Yeah, we like our guests as well, and we've got lots of reoccurring guests who would, I'm sure,
that's the thing,
absolutely love to come back.
We can have our consultants come on. If you're listening, Jess, obviously, coming on occasionally. Caroline's been on a few now. Adrian needs to come back on because listens to this. Hi, Adrian. So we can have a couple of recurring guests if Ash said, if anyone feels like they can contribute to the discussion, get in touch. Like, we'd love to have more people on,
because we really would.
Yeah,
it's all about learning, isn't it? It's all about developing your knowledge base. So that's what we wanted to do with this podcast when we first started, was start talking about theory and have it in a kind of fun, accessible medium that you can relate to, which is fantasy. So
which I think, and it's so funny that you mentioned the Weathertop. I think that's also why I'm really excited to do this, because I think those two Weathertop episodes were like my favorite episodes.
Oh, yeah. Really... Well, you know it was mine. I wrote a whole report on it.
I know. Which, if anyone hasn't seen it yet, I don't know. Where is it? Have we uploaded it somewhere? I think we put a link to the Google Doc, the Google link or something in our show notes for that episode. But
yeah,
maybe we should have it.
Yeah, it's a cat. I basically wrote it and then I did it on Canva to make it look like an old book. I was well into it.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's amazing. I think we might have also linked it in the article we wrote for the European Archaeologist.
Yes.
Newsletter, which we wrote before everything kind of went odd with the EAA.
Yes.
So, yes. But anyway.
We took our stand.
Yes, that's why we then stopped doing stuff with that. But nothing to do, by the way, with the wonderful editors of the European Archaeologist, who are amazing and wonderful. And I've just seen, actually, that the chief editor and the one under the chief editor have now resigned.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So
yeah.
There's been a mass resignation of people from there because they don't agree with the political stance that the EAA is currently having. So anyway.
We could get very much into that, but maybe we should not.
Maybe we shouldn't get into that right now. The point being, we are very proud of the work that we did for that article. And we were very happy to work with the team who were at the European Archaeologist. And we just want to make it very clear that because we published it there does not mean that we currently condone.
We do not believe what the EAA believes.
Yes, exactly. So at least the people listening to this in like a couple of years when hopefully it's gotten its act together and is like refreshed, everything will be like, what on earth are they talking about? So yeah, check the date of this recording.
Yeah,
like we are recording this in early May 2026. Like that is why.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes, to give some context. But yeah, no, so I think those were good. And one of my favorite things that came from those episodes, the Weathertop episodes, were the pictures from Kesia Ackermans, who is an incredible archaeologist, but also an amazing artist. And she, yeah, recommissioned some little portraits of us in our fantasy archaeology personas.
Yeah, I love it. It's on my wall.
Yeah, mine's up next to me as well. It's so cute. They're so good. So yes, we'll have a look on our Instagram. They're on there, so you can have a look and be astounded by how amazing she is.
I think I could put it on my CV because I've got like picture documented evidence that...
Yes, right, that you did that excavation.
I think we've got a report, we've got site drawings.
I mean, honestly, that is like a proper, and it's a proper report. Like I was,
yeah, I had to stop myself doing section drawings. Yeah. I was like, Ashley, stop.
She was messaging me, going, but Tilly, I'm not sure it's ready yet because the section like areas aren't consistent, like with the thingy particular, like they don't make sense. And I'm like, Ash, this is a fantasy podcast thing that we're doing for fun, unpaid, in our free time. Don't worry about the section consistency. Nobody was will
like,
worry about
I don't have the levels. She was like, stop.
Yeah, that's right. And she messaged me. I think you messaged me at like 11:30 at night or something going, I'm just finishing it up now, but I've noticed that this is a time, so I'll have to do more tomorrow. I was like, Ash, get off the computer.
Oh god, it was so fun though. I really did enjoy it. I still have the I measured out on the maps that you have, loads of people do Lord of the Rings maps, so I measured out and then did to scale the plan drawing, and I still have the actual drawing, and then I digitized it.
Yeah.
Did a key, got everything, so basically what I used to do, I was like, I'm going to do this for Lord of the Rings. And it's funny because where I live, there's actually a mountain. I don't even know what its name is because me and my friend refer to it as Weathertop because it literally looks like Weathertop. It's like a little extinct volcano and it's got this kind of plateau on it. And I'm always like, every time I go past it, I'm like, I've excavated that.
You should take a picture of it the next time you go past and pop it on.
Yeah, I should. It is. It's just sits there and it just looks like Weathertop.
Looks like Weathertop.
Very cool.
Maybe
yeah.
We can also do some then when we're doing this big project, you know, moving forward. We'll do obviously some like more theoretical episodes and like looking at the material culture and the landscape and things like that. But then we could also maybe do some excavations.
Yes. Oh my God. I'll write reports.
Right. Yeah. We could do more excavation reports. We're going to have to just create a whole new section of the Archaeology Podcast Network website. Or maybe we could start a blog.
Oh, yeah.
And my trowel blog. Because we have an Archaeology Podcast Network blog, but that's different.
We do.
But maybe we can start a blog for Am My Trowel on like, I don't know, Substack or something. And
oh yeah, we could do a Substack. That would be cool. Right. Would you be interested in us doing a Substack?
If people are interested in looking at fantasy archaeological reports and various other things. So it would be kind of they'd be fun, obviously, but mm-hmm. I think we would try to make them as kind of official as possible. So it would
have a seal.
Yes. And like the alternate universe, which would also be interesting for those of you who are not involved in archaeology to see what an archaeological report looks like. But then it might be a bit more fun because you'll know the site, or you'll know the universe, or you'll know the world that like we're talking about. So then that might help in sort of interpreting it and understanding what we're talking about.
We're basically LARPing as archaeologists, but we also are archaeologists. It's like a D&D campaign. It really is.
Yeah. Live archaeological roleplay. Yeah. LARP. Yeah. Oh my God. That's what LARP means, right? Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best thing you've ever said.
I'll put that on my CV.
Yeah. That was so quick.
And that's actually another point we want to make, because we're going to talk about a little bit more again next episode, but we were doing some lives where we were doing something called Second Breakfast, where we were going through the chapters of The Hobbit, and we were doing kind of little archaeological interpretations. But we had thought that maybe it would be fun to do kind of mini D&D campaigns almost as like a live. So we need to talk about that, because we don't have the time to do prep at the moment, really. But like, if that could be something fun to do, maybe even just do like pre-made ones, but adapt them for different archaeological settings or something.
We should actually just have PDFs of different archaeological campaigns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then have them, or maybe we'll put them on the Substack, and then there's something that people can do as like a one shot.
Yeah. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
So, yeah. So there you go. You're seeing our, this is also another part of don't show your work, show you working. This is basically how we chat
brainstorming
stuff. We just have a brainstorming session and like, this would be fun. Yeah, this would be fun too. This would be fun as well. So how much time do you have this week? Yeah, none. No time.
I have absolutely no time.
But I will make time to create this random RPG for archaeology. So we can definitely come up with that. I think that'll be good. But Well, I'm very much looking forward to starting this project. By the way, do you think we can claim expenses for dragon travel?
I'm not sure the grant will stretch to that, Tilly. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to stick to horses.
But I'm really allergic to horses.
How about a griffin that's feathers?
True. That'll work. There you go. Okay. Sorted. Well, that's about it for this episode of Am I Trowel. We hope that you enjoyed this chat. It was a bit of a rambling chat. Apologies for that. But we thought we needed just a little bit of a breather and a little bit of a catch up in between everything and before we start our big project. So as always, please do like, subscribe, follow wherever you get your podcast. It really helps to support the show because it helps other people to find it, especially if you add reviews as well, which would be great. Do please get in contact with us as well. You can find all of our contact information in the show notes. If you're interested in hearing more archaeology content, make sure to check out the other shows on the Archaeology Podcast Network. I should also mention, we're going to start doing some more lives on the Archaeology Podcast Network. And one of the more regular lives that happens is Archaeo Gaming with Ash and Chris, who they do little various campaigns in various different games. At the moment, you've been doing carbon dating, right?
Carbon dating. Yeah. Well, C4 dating.
C14 dating.
Yeah. C4, but I'm not blowing things up. C14 dating.
So, make sure to check that out. If you're a member, you can view that in your bonus section of the membership area of the APN website. All of the links and information of what we discussed today can be found in the show notes, as always.
And watch out for our next episode in 2 weeks' time, when we're going to be preparing for our initial archaeological survey of The Hobbit.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. The Archaeology Podcast Network's chief editor is Rachel Roden. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media and newsletter coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. The APN was founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle on December 1st, 2014. We're supported by our amazing podcast hosts, many volunteers, and listeners like you. Check out membership at www.archpodnet.com/members.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.